Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy too.
Friends, this segment is made possible by Platinum Cadillac and Chevrolet in Terrell, Texas. Stop by and visit with my buddy, Mr. Justin Rudd, and his team of experts, and let them put you in a new Chevy pickup or a Cadillac or whatever you might be in the market for. Also, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma. Check them out at ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. Also made possible by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, friends, let's go way up north to Saskatchewan and visit with Michelle Wahlberg. Michelle is she's guided for big game up in Canada, Northwest Territories, I think up in the Yukon, and she's done a lot of stuff for a lady, but she took her son on a deer hunt last year, or he was with her, and she worked him through the phases of learning about hunting. Michelle, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Luke.
I think it'd be fun to, and maybe helpful for people, maybe single ladies, single people with kids, to talk about, you know, your son. He was fortunate to have a mother that, with your experience, that's a fact. I mean, to teach him, to walk him through what he needed to do to prepare to hunt deer. He killed a nice buck last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, youngsters now, the cell phone, you know, I mean, it's a challenge to, and I get it. But tell us how you kind of indoctrinated him into the outdoor world, how you got him away from that phone. And it doesn't take much. Once a kid, I think if they get out and get exposed, they'll enjoy it, but they have to make that break first, don't they?
Oh, you've got to detox them from it, Luke. It's hard for me, and I'm an outdoors person, so I get it with kids. But with Lars, my son, what I did was I just banned him from all the devices at a certain point in my day. And then I made him get him into the truck. And you try to make things as fun as possible in explaining things. My son has a really natural, innate sense of curiosity. So if I can get him looking at something else, generally he can become interested in something else. So we started with just kind of, you know, going through what's a rub, what's a scrape, what's a deer, like, why do their horns grow? Why do their, you know, why do they, what's the difference between a horn and an antler?
Yeah.
Why, you know, what's a deer, you know, what do their scent glands mean? What does a doe stomp mean? And all of those things, he kind of started to find that stuff interesting. But it took a lot at first because, of course, he just wants to, you know, chat to his friends online. And then I just went, like you say, went through the process. It really started elementary and baby steps with him years ago. And then I kind of made it a competition because in Saskatchewan, you can't hunt until you're 12 years old. So you have to do a hunter safety program. You have to get a certificate. My son signed up for that online. So he got computer time to be able to do that online. I didn't help him. I answered any questions he had. But come the final exam, Luke, he got 100% on that exam. And I didn't give him a single answer. So, and he wasn't looking at us, he was doing the test. So I knew he was interested in it. And I knew he wanted to, he loves firearms. So I had that going for me because a way to use a firearm. And, you know, as we're doing target practice and we're talking about safety and all of the things that come with that, you know, then it's like, well, now you want to use that. So how do you use that? It's hunting. And, We got him set up on a few bait stations where he had to go. He had to take the bait out. He had to spread the hay around and put out the grain. Mm-hmm. He had to change the memory card in the camera. And then all of a sudden, when he's like, "Well, what's on those pictures on that?" You know. And I don't rely heavily on the camera other than I like to see what's going on, and I get enjoyment out of watching the deer eating at the bait.
Yep, me too.
And come opening day, I didn't even have a blind set up. We cut a little spot for the truck to sit. I've got a white truck. It's all snowy, so it's all good. We rip out there. you know, a couple hour, about, well, one or two in the afternoon, and we are going to sit there till dark. And I got him all set up in the box of the truck so that he could slip out the passenger door and climb into the box of the truck.
Yep.
And then not do like a standing walking shot. I knew that if my son wounded a deer, he would be really upset with himself. He wanted to do a very clean kill and not have an animal suffer. We've all seen it happen or had it happen to us. And he just really didn't want to. So I just did everything I could to set him up for success. I didn't give him a firearm that had the terrible kick. He didn't, you know, he has a nice scope on there so that he can see clearly. And then we were just watching and waiting, and I was just prepping him, like, you know, it's opening day, but there's not a lot of deer around. It's going to get busier as the days go on because more people are going to come out hunting. So if a good buck walks out and that's what you want to harvest, and that's what you can do. And I did put pressure on him that he had to shoot a great big deer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted him to harvest something that he was happy with, that he felt good about. And then there was I could see a buck coming up over kind of a ridge, and I said, oh, there's a good deer coming, Lars. And I hadn't seen him on camera before or anything. And we just waited and waited, and he was coming along the edge of the field. And I got a photo of my son, or a video of my son sitting in the truck, and he laser beamed onto that deer with his eyes. You know, he puts in an earplug and he's watching that deer. And I'm like, I said, you know, where are you going to put that shot? He says, well, he's walking that way. So I said, you got to aim for the exit. You don't aim for your entry. You got to aim for the exit, you know. And he lines up on that deer, and he gives him a good one. And that deer, he makes a couple of bounds, and I go, oh yeah, that's a good shot. You could just tell. But Lars was so upset because the deer didn't drop at the base. I said, well, you're using a 243. Like, it's not going to necessarily just crumple him up right there on the pile down on the ground. He's going to go a little ways. He's going to be dead hunting. Like, you hit him hard. Like, perfect shot. Mm-hmm. It looked good. I was watching through the binoculars. And so even though I knew that and I felt good about the shot, once again, I said, well, you don't go rushing off into the woods. Come back into the truck. We wait a little bit. Just let him lay down. I said, we don't want to push him down the ridge, and then I got to cut a chainsaw path and drag him up there, you know?
Right, yep.
So he hopped back in the truck, and he goes, what if it wasn't a good shot? What are we going to do? And I said, well, I'll track him. You know, like, that's okay. I'll show you how to do all of this, you know? But I said, I'm sure it's going to be okay. And so we went, after a little while, you know, we walked up to the bait, and instead of just going crashing through the bush, I said, no, you gotta, I said, the deer was standing right here when you hit him, right? I marked the tree in my brain. So I said, we walked up towards this area. I said, start looking for his tracks. You want to see his tracks. So we followed the right set of tracks into the bush. And so he's like, oh, well, this looks like this is his. I said, that's right. And then right around one step later, you could see blood. And I said, okay, now that's what we're going to follow. We know that's his track. We know you hit him. Let's be calm, quiet, and listening. And so we made a few steps right into the edge of the woods, and that deer was piled up right there.
Yeah. Go ahead, Michelle. This is a good story. And it reminds me of so many hunts with a 243. He expected the deer to go straight down. The truth of the matter is, regardless of what you shoot one, you know, the tracking one a little ways is pretty common. Usually happens that way, doesn't it? You know?
It does.
Yeah.
Like, they're right there. You know, he made an excellent shot. He exploded the heart, as I found out once I did the deer. He took off the top of it. It was a beautiful, perfect shot. But it doesn't matter. They have adrenaline. It doesn't matter. You hit the heart. The deer's dead. But they can still run without, you know, it's just pure instinct and adrenaline.
Yep.
Especially on a big tank of a buck. And so I got emotional, and I was so, so proud of him because he was like, I did it. I made a good shot. And that was what his concern was that he made the good shot, that he made an ethical kill. And then he goes, is it a good buck, Mom? I said, oh, honey. I said, we got a problem. He says, oh, like, what's the problem? I say, I can't load that deer. I've got a team hoist. I said, I can't load him myself. I said, we're going to have a hard time dragging him out of the woods.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of deer, Luke. I've seen a lot of deer. That deer was humongous.
Michelle, folks, Michelle has guided deer hunts up in Canada. You can imagine the deer she's seen. And had to handle after they hit the ground. So what do you think this his Lars Buck estimate live weight? Just
he was in the, I'm sure, in this into the 300 pounds probably.
Yeah,
like he was. Like, I took a look at him and I said, there ain't no way. We took some photos right there, you know, cleaned up the face. And I don't like a photo filled with blood, Luke.
No,
you know, like
no.
That's a side of it. Blood doesn't gross me out personally.
Yeah.
But I like to have a respectful looking, you know, picture. And people say, well, it's morbid to take a photo of that deer. Sure. I also took a video of the whole process. I take photos of him baiting. This is just the result of his hard work. So I clean up the deer's face and, you know, I pose it. So, you know, I try not to have, you know, blood everywhere. But we had trouble because that deer was so dang heavy moving him around. So we put on, my friend had made me a paracord set up that
a drag.
It's really a thick braid and you drag out the deer with it. So we put that on and we drug him to the edge of the field and halfway to there. And we didn't have to go far. He was right there, you know?
Yep.
And I called my cousin and my cousin lives right nearby where we were hunting. And I said, are you home? He says, well, I'm on my way home. I said, geez, we need help. I said, I can't load this dang deer. I said, like, I don't have a branch big enough to put the hoist on to lift him up.
No, you had to get him up. You had to get him up in the truck. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, into the box of the truck. I said, there's no way. And I didn't want to gut him at the bait because I had the neighbor's girl was going to hunt with me potentially.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to bring out coyotes and wolves right to the bait. You know, you could just mess up your area. So anyway, my cousin and his girlfriend came and it took Lars and my big male cousin in the box of my truck. And me and the partner, who she's a tough gal too, and we were on the ground, and we were all heaving and huffing and panting by the time we loaded that deer. And I've loaded deer. I know what I've seen it done. You know, I've done it myself.
I
and
know
that,
you
it
have.
Was something else.
Yeah, Michelle, that's
we loaded up there and we stood there. Yeah,
that's a great story, and I hope it inspires some people to get their kiddos out there hunting. You know, I mean, it's once they're exposed to it, a lot of them. Well, I'm not saying every young person's going to take to it, but most of them will. Michelle, we're out of time. I want to get you back. And folks, Michelle, I know you might remember her being on my show. I've often said she's not one to be looking for awards or anything, but she would qualify for the Outdoors Lady of the Year. I've always said that. We kind of share that thing because as a writer and all, I could care less about awards and things like that. I don't even enter things, but I'm there. I want to share what I know with the people that listen to me and read my articles and things, Michelle. So thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll get you back. We'll pick your brain about guiding up in the Northwest Territories, or you've got a million stories, and I'll get you back and we'll let you tell some of them. How about that?
Awesome, Luke. Thanks for having me on.
Folks, I want to tell you about one of my long-term partners, and that is Pyramid Air. The website is pyramydair.com. They're a one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Big bores, little bores, PCP guns, springers, you name it. All different brands, some great air gun supplies, but also a whole lot more. Archery, ammo, optics, shooting and outdoor gear, action sports, all this stuff can be found right there and ordered through Pyramid Air. So remember, go online to pyramydair.com.